Welcome back, everyone, to The Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and with me, I'm so excited, good friend and friend of the show, JB, has joined us. He is the dev lead of the Visual Studio Tools for Unity, and you're here to show us all the amazing new Unity stuff on a Mac.
On a
for
Mac.
For VS for Mac? Exactly. Is that happening?
That's what's happening. That's what we announced at Build recently.
Yes.
That's what we've been working for months, and we're super proud to announce it, release it, and give it to the world.
Yeah, when I saw, so when we did the Visual Studio for Mac session, which I'll put into the show notes, you came on stage, gave a really quick demo of like the integration. I was blown away. I was like, we need to have you on the show, give a deep dive. Now, if people don't know who JB is, can you give everyone a little bit of a background?
Well, first, thank you very much for having me on the show.
Absolutely.
It's a show that I tend to watch every now and then. I know that you've received very big rock stars, like our friend Frank, so it's an honor for me to be here.
Grace the stage in Channel 9.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right. So yes, I'm the developer lead for the Visual Studio Tools for Unity. It's a product, it's a free product that ships with Visual Studio on Windows and Visual Studio for Mac on Mac. Originally, it was named Unity VS. It was a product that we're doing in a company, a paid product. Microsoft acquired us a few years ago. They made Unity VS into the Visual Studio Tools for Unity. They made it free for everyone. Everyone was a license to use Visual Studio. It's a community which is free for most people, or enterprise as well.
Yep.
And basically what the tools for Unity are doing is that we're bridging Unity, which is a 2D, 3D game creation environment, which is, I think, widely used is an euphemism.
That might be an understatement, yeah.
Yes, it's used by everyone these days. And we're bridging Unity with what we think are the best C-sharp developer experiences, Visual Studio on Windows and Visual Studio for Mac on the Mac.
Yeah, beautiful. Because Unity itself, right, so there's an entire kind of Unity IDE design surface, but the actual coding when you're making your routines or your scripts or anything like that are all in C-sharp. So essentially, from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, it's bridging the gap of writing the code in the world's best IDE.
Yes.
And then also the debug process too, right? That's kind of what you demoed.
That's exactly it. Like Unity is this big application which federates many kind of assets that you need to build your game, like 3D models, where you can use Blender, sounds, textures, and scripts, like a code component for your game is just one kind of the asset that you want in your game. And Unity's job is to federate all of that and present you in a way where you can build your game. And then Unity delegates to each of the best tools that you want for each kind of assets.
Got it.
And we think that Visual Studio is the best tool to write the C-sharp code of your game.
Beautiful. And really, Unity, it's like every single platform, too. Right? So it's all in C-sharp. It's leveraged from a long history of Mono, and new Mono's coming. I've talked about that for a while.
So we're on Unity3D.com. And this is all the logos for all the platforms they support.
Yep.
It is crazy. They're so big nowadays that I think when platform vendors come up with a new platform, they work with Unity to make sure that people can leverage their skills, their Unity skill, to build games for new platforms. So you can target all major desktops, all major phones, all major consoles, TVs,
handhelds,
and even the web.
Wow, yeah.
Like you can export your game to the web as a WebGL game.
That's pretty awesome.
It is crazy. And they're really, they're prevalent. They're everywhere. And I mean, as a programmer myself, what I really like is that you get to write the code of your game using C#, .NET, with all the tooling that comes with it. It's really a great experience.
Cool. So what do they need? So if someone wanted to get started today with Unity, you'd go to unity3d.com,
The first thing to do would be to go to unity3d.com.
Okay.
They have a free version that you can use. Today we'll be doing all the demos with a free version.
Nice.
The free version really gives you access to almost everything.
Cool.
Like, you can really build a game from A to Z with the free version. And when you start, hopefully for you, making money with your game, then there's a cash limit that you can use with the free version, and then you start to need to pay for Unity. But Makes sense, a very good problem to have.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, if you're making millions of dollars, you can give Unity, I guess, $35.
I don't know the exact terms, but yes.
It's like the Visual Studio community. It's like, well, if you're making millions of dollars, you can give us $1,000. That's good. It'll take a little bit, yeah.
Cool. All right, so you go to unity3.com. What I'm going to show here today works with the latest stable version, which is Unity 5.6.1.
Okay.
And yes, I downloaded it, I installed it, I started it, and I was thinking that for the viewers that are not familiar with Unity, I would do a small demo that I already did,
perfect,
which gives you the a view of how you can, even with like no design skills like me, build a small game for Unity in just a few minutes, and how easy it is.
Let's do it, because last time I looked at Unity was years upon years ago. I'm always looking at it. Last time I installed it and got a hands-on, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm bringing an expert to show me.
All right, let's go ahead. This is the new project wizard into Unity. Let's click a new project. Today we're going to build a basketball game. All right. Unity starting.
So this is kind of just like almost like when I create a new project ever in the last 1,000 years, it scaffolds out a bunch of stuff for me, I assume.
It's just very minimal. Like, got it. This gives you almost nothing.
Okay.
Unity has a bunch of tutorials and assets if you want to get started with an existing project.
Okay.
Today we're going to start from scratch just to see how it works.
Cool.
All right.
Let's do it.
So this is Unity. On my left, I have the hierarchy of components that are in the game. Right now, there's nothing but a camera and a light. This is the folder structure of my project. And we're going to go ahead and build a small basketball game. All right. So I'm saving a scene, which is like a visual unit. Like, you can think about it as a level in your game.
OK, got it.
And it will be just one level. So it's going to be a basketball game. So the first thing we need is something to work on, right? A floor. So I'm going to use simple primitives, like a cube.
Sure.
All right. I add a cube in my scene. And I'm going to make it like a floor.
So kind of build out the court.
Yes.
Got it. Cool.
And that's it.
Boom.
Like, I have a floor. This is a view of my game from the main camera.
Oh, OK, cool.
And that's my scene. All right, so the other thing that we have, we're going to delete this one just to show that we get started from the get-go. And we're going to add a light, a directional light. OK. It doesn't matter where we put it. We'll just put it above of the scene. Yep. Set its direction. And that is all the scene will be light. That's basically our sun. Right?
Got it. So that's our sun. So like essentially, if we had shadows, the light would essentially handle that.
Okay. Yeah. And we'd have shadows and lights. You'd see about it. So one of the things I mentioned is that Unity has demo projects, samples, but they also have built-in assets, which allow you to get started very easily. So what I would like is basically a game where like a first-person shooter, right? You're inside your character, and you shoot bolts. Exactly. So I'm going to go ahead, assets, import package, characters, which is in the standard assets of Unity. I'm importing this package in my game. It will give me all the assets that I need.
So this is a bunch of stuff that ships with Unity, essentially.
Exactly.
It's like free. It comes
textures,
with it.
Model, existing scripts.
Oh, cool.
That you can use quickly to build like a third-person character, or in our case, a first-person character.
Oh, cool! That's pretty nice because there's probably the game. There's a lot of games that do the exact same things or using the exact same like a particle effect or an explosion.
Exactly.
Or, yeah, that makes
you
sense.
You do it over and over. And if you want to get started prototyping, you just use it, and you can focus on the idea of your game instead of the mechanism of moving a character.
Got it. That makes sense. Yeah.
Another thing that we can talk about quickly is that. If that is not enough for you, Unity has this asset store.
Oh, cool.
Which is kind of the component store.
Got it, yeah.
In Xamarin, but for every kind of asset that you would need in a game. Mm. So script, like you have like improved first-person controllers if you need to. You can, like if you have no design skill and want to prototype,
that's
an
me,
idea
basically.
Of a game. Yeah, me too. Then you can go ahead, spend a few dollars, and get a nice like looking asset and models.
That's really nice.
That's really nice. All right, so let's go ahead and explore our project character, first-person character, prefab, and we'll drag and drop FPS controller in the game. It's here. All right, let's set its position. We'll do 0, 1, and 4. Save. So if we play the game inside Unity, we can already move the mouse and work around. Jump.
So is that because of that FPS controller that you put in?
And there's everything.
Has everything inside of it.
It has a camera attached to the object that we dropped. It has scripts to handle the input of the game based on the mouse, of the keys to move around, to jump.
Well, cool.
And yeah, and you can already move around in our scene.
That's very cool.
Let me delete this camera that we're not using. All right. What else do we need? Well, if we're going to play basketball, I think we need a hoop.
A hoop?
That's the word.
Yeah, yep. A hoop and a ball probably, yeah.
Yep. All right, let's start with a hoop. I downloaded a model for free on the internet.
All good things come just download it for free.
There are websites, like, again, like there's the asset store, and there are also websites where we can download models that people put under different kind of licenses you can use if you want to try stuff around.
I do that with podcasts, too. Like, there's a whole, repository of free music that you can use and sample as long as you accredit things. Or icons, example, in games or in apps, for instance. There's all these free ones that people are creating. As long as you give the right attribution, you're good to go.
Exactly. So this is my model.
Cool.
This is what it looks like in the inspector. Mm. All right. I'm going to ask Unity to generate colliders when we import them, so that if we throw something at it, the physics engine will recognize that it is like an object with a physical existence.
So if something smashes into it, it's not going to
go through it.
Got it.
All right.
They simplified it to a checkbox.
Yes.
I like that.
So we have imported the hoop into our assets, and we'll simply drag and drop it into our scene. Right?
Look at that.
All right, so where are we going to put it? All right, let's say 0, 0, down, apply a small rotation, and make it a tiny bit bigger in terms of scale.
Also, it'd be way too easy to dunk on.
Yep. All right.
Cool.
We can move around. We can try to dunk.
And since the first person also has colliders, it
exactly.
is the whole physics engine is done for.
Exactly.
Very cool.
All right. So what can we do? Well, let's add some color to the floor. When we imported the hoops, there were some materials that were imported with it. So we can use them. Here. No? Okay.
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Cool.
Then we have a floor. It's made of iron. But all right, so the next thing that we need is a ball.
Let's do it.
All right, so we're needed primitives, like a sphere that would do a perfect ball. All right, let's move it so that we can see it. All right, that's going to be our ball. Let's move it, 0, 1, -5. And let's make it a little bit tinier, 0, 4, 0, 4, 0, 4. Let me go and zoom on it, all right. I'm going to drag and drop the red material on it.
Cool.
It's going to look good. One thing that we'll need is to add some physics to it. Like, we'd like the ball to bounce, right?
To bounce a little bit, yeah. All right. Actually have gravity and weight to it, I guess, too?
We need to do that as well. So we're going to do assets create physics material. All right, we're going to call it Bouncy. And Bouncy has some unit of bounciness.
One unit of bounciness, please.
Yes. All right. Let's sort our scene. We'll rename the sphere ball. All right. The cube, we'll rename it to be a floor. It will look better. The FPS controller will be our player. All right, that's better organization. That will be a ball. Oh. Are we not saving? Player. No? Rename. Player. That works.
There we go.
That will be a ball. Yep. All right. So we have a ball. As you mentioned, we'd like also the ball to have like a physical existence mm-hmm. in the world. So we'll add a rigid body to it. And yes, all right. So if we go to the world, that's our ball, right? It
cool.
even fell to the ground. Do I need to add anything? No. One thing I'm going to do is to take my ball from my scene and move it to my assets.
Okay.
And that's going to create a prefab, a component that is all created with the existing attributes.
Okay, got it.
And then I can reuse it.
So you can just, if you wanted to have 100 balls, then
like,
you could just drag
I can simply
and drop
start
it.
And drag and drop them. Right?
Got it, okay, cool.
All right, and then I will have multiple balls in my scene.
Sitting around, very cool, okay. Yeah. With all of the settings that you saved, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
All right, so but that's not what we want, right? We want to shoot balls, exactly. So we need to do some programming.
Got a program. Now, so now it's time. So now after drag and drop, it's actually time to write some code.
Exactly. Yep. So what I'm going to do is to create a C# script.
Okay.
Let's call it shooter.
Because essentially these objects are in the scene. And they know about each other based on the colliders, but they don't know necessarily that I could grab this ball and then shoot it, right? So there's, is that what we need to do in the script, essentially? Is
so
be able
we're
to
going
it,
to cheat a bit.
Okay.
And we're just going to create balls out of thin air.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Which, all right. So let's open the project inside Visual Studio for Mac.
So how did you do that? What just happened?
I just double-clicked on a C# file.
Oh, cool.
So one thing I forgot to mention. All right, let's start over. We're inside Unity, and we're going to configure which tool do you want to use to write your C# code.
Right?
So you go to external tools into the settings, and all you need to do is to browse and find application, visualstudio.app.
Got it.
And from that point on, Unity, starting with Unity 5.6.1, will detect that we selected Visual Studio for Mac.
Oh, cool.
It will load the tools for Unity to generate a project for you that Visual Studio for Mac can understand. And basically, a lot of the work that my team is doing is working behind the scene in Visual Studio for Mac and in Unity to make sure that as soon as you selected Visual Studio, everything works out of the box. And like the behavior that you expect from Visual Studio will work with Unity.
OK, got it. Cool. Nice.
All right, so I double-clicked on a file. It opened Visual Studio for Mac, and I have the project opened inside Visual Studio for Mac.
Okay.
The first thing, like I know you're using Visual Studio for Mac a lot, so there are a few differences here that maybe not are not visible immediately, but we're completely customizing the way the solution pad is displaying the project.
Mm-hmm.
Unity has its own concept of what a project is. It's folder-based, right? Like many websites.
Sure.
In Unity, a project is just a folder. It has an asset folder where you put all your assets. And Unity, in the background, will look at all the assets and find out what's the way to compile them, if they're scripts.
Got it.
So they will generate multiple projects. Because you can write code for your game, but one of the very nice things about Unity is that it's also very extensible. You can write your own tooling.
Yeah.
Like you can create your own, I don't know, say you want to build like a car game. Like you can build your own tool to design like your racetracks.
Mm.
and build that inside Unity, so you can build your own tools to build your game.
It's pretty sweet.
But then, like, this code, like, will not end up in the game, right? It's just for
development purposes.
Exactly.
I have a friend that I used to work. So I used to be in games myself. Oh. I don't know if you know that. This is before Unity and before XNA and all that stuff. So we wrote our own game engine. I have a friend, Ben, who's working on this game called Aztez, which is all built in Unity. And the main programmer, Matthew, who I'm good friends with still, they built all these amazing tools to, like, when an explosion or whatever happens, they can, like, slow it down and, like, do all this crazy stuff. And they did it all on a Mac and inside of what's going on here, which is super cool. So I could really see, like, the power that you can, as a developer, you can really extend it, just like you could extend VS for Mac or VS itself. So it's really powerful.
It is. Yeah. And, well, like, if we're going to do a small bit of history, the legend goes that the three guys that founded Unity, the company, got together and they actually met through a forum for game developers back in the days, and they wanted to build a game. And they got together, worked on a game and tools to create this game. And after some time, they realized that the value they created was not so much in the game, but in the tools they used, they built to create the game.
Yeah.
And that evolved into Unity.
That's very cool.
And it was on Mac only at the time. It's when you think about it.
Yeah, like, and now, years literally ago, going and everywhere.
Everywhere. All right. So
cool, back.
Yes, let's go back to Visual Studio for Mac. This is a script, shooter.cs. All right, let's delete everything and start fresh.
Maybe control plus that a little bit. Command plus that, I should say. Oh, yeah.
All right. So we have a special class. We have a class shooter which extends a special class, mono behavior, which is a type that Unity will recognize.
Okay.
So you can attach types extending mono behavior to objects in your scene, and Unity hosts a .NET runtime based on mono.
Oh, got it. Yep.
And it will recognize all the types extending that and send messages to those types simply by calling methods that we're going to declare. The way it works right now is that there's a fixed list of methods that you have to learn. One of them is update, that the game engine will call every frame, which is something that is not completely straightforward for traditional C# developers. They would expect, like, a method to override something that would be defined in a base class. Whereas here, it just originally it was for performance reasons. They didn't want virtual methods. Because they're game developers and they want to extract as much performance as possible. The drawback is that you have to remember the name all the time. One of the features that we have built in, the tools for Unity, is code completion for those special methods. Like, you want update, all right, let's complete update. And the tools for Unity will build like the skeleton of the method for you.
Very cool.
Like, you want to handle collision, you don't remember exactly which it is. Code completion for Unity
with
messages.
Summary tells you exactly what it's going to do. Nice.
Very it's pretty cool. sweet. All right. So that's the update method. It will be called every frame. Those components extending mono behavior have a way to be visible, like, from the editor, so that you can set their property visually from inside the editor.
Okay.
And the way to do that is simply to make a public field, which, again, like, may feel weird for traditional C# developers who like to, like, make all field private.
Yeah.
But that's the way to do it in Unity. So shooter will want to shoot something and to create it. And we need to shoot something with, again, like, physical existence in the game, so it will be a rigid body. That will be a prefab, so something already built, like a component. And we'll need and a speed. Right. Okay. So what we're going to do is, on the player, on the first person character, we're going to add a component, and it will be the shooter. And as you can see, we have the fields
already
of this component here that we can set. Like, so we can drag and drop the ball, and we can set the speed to 10.
Oh, cool.
All right.
And essentially, these are just the defaults. It reads the script and it says, these are the fields that I'm exposing. Think of them as getters and setters, but not really, but they kind of are.
Yes.
Performance,
exactly.
Et cetera, et cetera. 60 frames per second, et cetera, et cetera, right? But then
19 VR.
Yeah, there you go. So then essentially you've applied this script to this first-person shooter. We can set stuff on. It's not changing the script anymore. It's just setting the field.
Exactly.
As if someone filed or did a new shooter, essentially. Got it.
And attached it.
And attached it.
To this first-person character. So
cool.
Now we need to write some code. And we'll say if the user presses a button, which is named fire one, which is going to be bound to my left click on a keyboard. So what are we going to do? We're going to instantiate the prefill. So we are going to create the ball that we attached. We'll set it at the current position of the player. And that's going to be rotation. And we're going to create it where the player is looking. So here we're creating a ball. And the last thing that we're going to do is to tell the physics engine that this new object that we created has a velocity.
Yeah.
And this velocity is going to go forward and halfway up. And we'll multiply it by the speed that we set.
Of the ball, got it.
And that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. So the mono behavior is the one that has this transform.
Exactly.
Which
field.
Which essentially that transform is the player and all the properties around it. So it, you
like
can
transform,
right.
It's a set of properties that represent where in the scene this particular object is.
Got it.
All right, so we've attached the shooter script to the first-person character.
Cool.
We set a speed. I think that if we're playing the game,
we
spawn balls and
you can jump and just keep going.
Yep. And try until I score almost. And yes, so that was like, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
And we already built a game which is better than many games on the App Store.
Very cool. Now we wrote some code. Can you debug the code? Is there additional things that you can do?
Very much. You can debug the code. All right, so let's play the game. Let's go to Visual Studio for Mac, put a breakpoint. Pressing play will simply attach the Visual Studio for Mac debugger to Unity. And so I put a breakpoint when we shoot. So let's shoot.
Boom.
And boom, you're inside.
That makes sense. Got it.
Visual Studio for Mac. All the debugging features, like breakpoints, locals, the watch, the call stack that you expect from a modern C# debugger will work.
Cool.
You can step. So yes, that's that basically just works.
Got it. So whenever you want to debug, you're playing the game in the Unity editor, and then you hit debug, which essentially says, let's start up that debugger, and then go. So essentially, you could be playing through your game, and then you're like, all right, now I'm ready to debug the scene.
Something is wrong. Let's attach the debugger and see what's going on.
Yeah.
As you've seen, building a Unity game is somewhat different from building games with other toolkits. Here, almost everything happens inside the editor. It's a very iterative process.
Mm-hmm.
You can tweak things even when you're playing the game inside Unity.
Got it.
You cannot change the code while it is running, but you can change the position of the player. You can change properties of your game, so you can try. So it's a very iterative process. And working with Visual Studio for Mac just works like that. You attach the debugger, you see what's wrong, you detach, you fix up. Unity will automatically detect that you modified your code and will reload it.
Oh, cool.
So whenever you play, whenever you press play next.
Yeah. You just hot swap it and reload it up. So if
you
want to say like, oh, it should be divided by 3, hit play again, boom, it's good to go because you've
made the
changes.
And then you can try. So what we're seeing is that most game developers spend most of their time inside the Unity IDE,
mm-hmm.
And then when they're satisfied or when they want to try something, they export it for one of the many platforms that Unity supports.
Got it.
And because like that process is obviously longer than the short iteration times, they're all building the game in the editor and then exporting for your game. So they rarely debug on a player like you would do with other game engines, for instance.
Got it. That makes sense. So also in the asset store, I'm assuming that we're seeing additional scripts and things like that, too.
Yeah.
So you can create your scripts, but
also...
We can
go and have a look.
Yeah, let's do it. That'd be kind of cool. So there's the asset store.
That's the asset store. Yeah, so you have many kind of assets. Like if you want to build an FPS, a space game, you're going to have many categories. It's really super nice for people like me who have no design skills.
Yeah, to come in, grab some assets, grab some scripts. So maybe you're a designer looking to get some code, and you could probably grab some scripts that come in too. Should be pretty cool. Nice.
Yep. Okay.
Make a little bit bigger. There we go.
Yep. All right. Say that you want to. My touchpad is...
Touchpad's messing around on you.
Yep. Or Unity is. All right. But anyways, yes, like you can search the asset store for like many kinds of assets. Like if you want to build like a low poly game,
you
could have low poly like little characters. It's really a good way to get started.
Nice. Cool. So also we said that so the Visual Studio tools for Unity are not only available on Visual Studio for Mac, but also... Available.
On Windows,
yeah.
They're now included in the box with Visual Studio 2017. Visual Studio 2017 has this concept of workloads, so basically scenarios that you choose when you install Visual Studio 2017. And there's a game development with Unity that you can check, and it will get everything that you need, including Unity, if you want to start like this. And if you're starting from Unity and you go, you're on Windows, unity3.com, you download Unity. We have a great working relationship with Unity, and we have a great partnership with them. And on Windows, Visual Studio 2017 is now the default experience. So if you download Unity, there will be an option, check by default, to install 2017.
Oh, cool.
It will make it the default to install Unity. You do exactly what we did, and when you double-click on a script, it will open Visual Studio for you.
Cool.
And just like for Visual Studio for Mac, you'll be all set. Like debugging is just pressing F5, putting your breakpoints.
And done.
You'd get like pretty much the same set of features that we're actually porting from Visual Studio on Windows, where the tools for Unity originally started.
Got it.
So they have a little more features than we have on Visual Studio for Mac right now, but we're working on like
bringing
porting.
Them all over.
Exactly.
Now, is there anything special you needed to do for Visual Studio for Mac here? Or you just install Visual Studio for Mac and then
you just get Visual Studio for Mac. As we've seen, the only thing that you need to do is to go to the settings.
Set up the external tools.
Set the external tools for C# to be Visual Studio for Mac.
Cool.
And you'll be good to go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. JB, anything else you want to show or highlight?
No,
or
that's pretty much it.
Awesome.
I think that as a conclusion, I think, with everything that Apple announced at WWDC with ARKit, we know that Unity has built-in support for ARKit. I think it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
So if you're planning on building Unity games using ARKit on macOS, then I think you should check out Visual Studio for Mac to write the script for your game.
Awesome. Well, thank you, JB, for coming on. Sure, all the not only just Unity, great intro. I actually now understand what's happening and could go ahead and create this at home now, but also the awesome tools built in for VS for Mac. Awesome. So JB, thank you again for coming on.
Thank you.
Until next time, I'm James Montemagno, and this has been The Xamarin Show.
Thank you.